As the band take their seats, good opportunity to get your Bibles back open at Exodus chapter 20. We're focusing in on verse 12 this morning, and that call to honour our father and our mother. Let me just pray once more before we look at God's word. This little passage begins with, "And God spoke all these words." So, Father in heaven, we thank you that you have spoken. Thank you that these words are your words that we're looking at this morning. We just pray, Lord, that as your people, we might understand them and we might obey them in a way that is good for our society and that brings glory to your name. We pray for your word to take root in our hearts and the hearts of our little ones as well, as they think about similar things downstairs. And we ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, for those who haven't been around these last few weeks, you're joining us partway through a series in Exodus chapter 19 and Exodus chapter 20, which we've called At Mount Sinai. And as we've seen over these last few weeks, the big thing, the big event that takes place at Mount Sinai is the giving of the law. God descended on that mountain in power and in glory. And it shook. There was thunder. There was lightning. And God spoke. He spoke to his people who he had delivered from slavery in Egypt. And he gave his people the law, which is encapsulated in the Ten Commandments. And as we've seen already, those Ten Commands fall nicely into two main categories. The first four commands that we've looked at already are all about how we relate to God on the vertical. And then the next six commands are all about how we relate to other people on the horizontal, or how Jesus says how we should love our neighbor. And this morning we come to the first of that second category of commands in verse 12, as we focus in on the family, and particularly that relationship between children and their parents. Now, I'm very aware that as we approach a subject such as this, your experiences of family life may be very different. For some here, family life has been a tremendous joy. For others, it's been a place of great sadness. And for others still, trauma. Yet here's the thing. Whatever your own personal experience has been, the command to honour your father and your mother still stands. And we're going to think this morning about what that looks like under three main headings. Before we do, though, one other thing that we probably need to be aware of is the huge shift that has taken place in our society with respect to the traditional family. So much so that if trends continue, by 2030, married couples will be in the minority. Family life is changing dramatically. Every week, 1,000 children lose contact with their fathers. Broken homes are fast becoming the norm. And added to that, we have this strange scenario where in some homes, children are growing up with two mums or two dads, as opposed to a mother and a father. Our job and our responsibility as Christian believers is to work towards and to pray towards the restoration of the biblical family, which is made up of one father and one mother and, God willing, X number of children who honor and obey their parents. So with that in mind, what does it look like then to honor your father and your mother? Well, firstly, it means to respect their position. In fact, the word honor that you can see there in verse 12 comes from the Hebrew word kaved, which literally means heavy. Your parents are worthy of heavy or weighty respect. Not just a little bit of respect, but tons. Tons of respect. Why? Not because your parents always get it right, and because your parents are always deserving necessarily of that respect, but because that is God's good design for the family. That's how God wants it to be. That's how God wants families to operate. But that's not how it is, as the New Testament makes clear on numerous occasions. Have a look at Romans chapter 1, where Paul gives a devastating snapshot of the human heart, beginning in verse 29. They've become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. What a terrible list that is. And right there in the middle, we read about children who disobey their parents. You see, this isn't just a small side issue. This is a big deal. This cuts the very heart of God's good design for the family, which is at the very heart of healthy and flourishing societies. And what we read here in Romans chapter 1 shouldn't surprise us. You see, when God has been rejected as the ultimate authority, which is what Romans chapter 1 is all about. We have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. God has been rejected, and when the ultimate authority has been rejected, it's inevitable that the other authority structures that he has designed and established will also be rejected or undermined. And we see it all around us, don't we? We see it in education, in terms of how students relate to their teachers, so often with so little respect. We see it in sport, in terms of how players relate to officials, so often with so little respect. And we see it in the home, in terms of how children relate to their parents, so often with so little respect. And we see it across wider society as well. And all of those things are just symptoms, symptoms of a world that has rejected God as its ultimate authority. And our job, as I've said already, is to uphold God's good design for life, which of course is all of the Ten Commandments. But that certainly includes commandment number 5, that we would be working towards and praying towards being a people that see God's design for the human family established and protected and preserved. Parents, see the diagram on the screen, who are a loving and kind authority in the lives of their children, and children who gladly submit to that loving and that kind authority. And when a family begins to function like that, as God intends, then the blessings begin to flow. That's why the command in verse 12 comes with a promise attached, a promise of blessing. Have a look again at verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. There's the command. Why? Here's the promise. So that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I don't think we're meant to over-personalize that promise. God isn't saying to every individual child, if you obey your parents, you'll live to the age of 94. Remember the context. Remember, God here is speaking to the people of Israel, who he's rescued from slavery in Egypt, and they are on their way to the promised land. And on numerous occasions along the way, as they make their way to the land of Canaan, God says to his people, when you enter the land, if you listen to my word and if you walk in my ways, then you will continue to enjoy my blessing. But if you reject my word, and if you reject my ways, then you will be ejected from the land. Now, if you're New Testament Christians, of course, the promise doesn't apply to us in quite the same way. We're not on our way to the land of Canaan. We're not in risk of being ejected from a physical land somewhere. But we are traveling through the wilderness of this life to the promised land of heaven. And the promise we find in the 5th commandment is a promise of blessing and stability on the way. In fact, one of the main reasons our society is so unstable is because the command to honor our father and mother has largely been ignored. As one commentator said, a healthy society is inconceivable It is inconceivable without a strong family life. So as we get a little bit more specific then, what does this actually look like? In the nitty-gritty of daily life to uphold and to obey the fifth commandment. Well, here's a few applications to consider. There's many more for you to take away and think through. Firstly, you honor your parents by doing something as simple as looking at them when they speak to you. You see it so often when parents are trying to address their children, and the children will just carry on with whatever they're doing, their games or their reading or whatever, and they will not even give their parents the attention in that moment to listen to what they have to say. Secondly, you honor your parents by appreciating all they do for you instead of taking it for granted, the countless hours and energy and time that your parents often pour into your lives. To honor them is to appreciate that and to acknowledge it and to be aware of it and to be thankful for it. Thirdly, you honor your parents by speaking kindly to them and about them. Not just when you're face to face and being kind and gracious with your words, but maybe when you're talking to your friends that you would respect your parents in the way that you speak about them. Fourthly, you honor your parents by forgiving them when they get it wrong, and trust me, they will. They will on many occasions. Part of honoring your father and your mother is being willing to forgive them when they get it wrong. Fifthly, you honor your parents by embracing their loving discipline, even when that's hard. It's not very nice sometimes, but it's necessary. It's necessary because a father instructs and disciplines his children so that they walk in the right way. And part of honoring your parents is not to just to dismiss that, but to listen to them and seek to embrace it in order that your life might be changed by it. And lastly, of course, you honor your parents by doing what they say. As we read in Proverbs 1, verse 8 and 9, the Proverbs are littered with how children should respect and listen to their parents. This is what we read. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Or to put it another way, your parents' instruction will enhance your beauty. You will become more beautiful as you become more like Jesus, as you listen to your father and your mother's instructions. And that brings us to our second heading this morning. Firstly, to respect their position that God has put them in your life. And secondly, obey their instruction. Now, it might surprise you that out of the Ten Commandments, this one is quoted more than any other in the New Testament. 6 times, in fact, and one of those is in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. There's the commandment, which is the first commandment with a promise. As Paul applies this Old Testament command to the church in Ephesus, his point is simple, isn't it? A big part of honoring is obeying. You see, the chief responsibility for training children in the way they should go doesn't lie with teachers or youth leaders or even the extended family. It lies with parents. That's what Paul goes on to say in verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Parents, your responsibility is clear: to bring up your children as best you can by the grace of God to know and love the Lord Jesus, to saturate them with biblical truth as you train them in the way that they should go. And children, your responsibility is also clear: to obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. It is the right thing to do before God. Now, of course, that does raise a couple of questions. It certainly did for me. Firstly, does that mean it's always right to obey your parents? Whatever they say, you must obey your parents? Well, the answer to that question is no. If your parents told you to go and do something as reckless as jumping off a bridge into a raging river when you can't even swim, you'd be well within your rights to say no. to disobey that particular instruction because of the harm that it might bring to your life. Likewise, if a parent instructed you to do something that is contrary to the gospel, for example, if they said to you, stop following Jesus, I've had enough of you and this Christian rubbish, just let it go, put it to one side, you'd be well within your rights actually to say no, because your primary allegiance is to him, to Jesus, and not them. As John Stott says in his commentary, children are not to obey their parents without exception, but in everything that is compatible with their primary loyalty, namely their loyalty to Jesus, which does mean on certain occasions it might be right to say no. However, the way that you go about that as children really matters, because the call to honor your parents still stands. You need to honor them in the way that you talk about that and the way that you sometimes will maybe have to say no. Second question, does that relationship change with age? We talk about children obeying parents. How does that change as you move through the different stages of life? Well, the answer is it does change. On one hand, your parents will always be your parents, and therefore you should always respect them. But the way you relate to your parents in the different stages or seasons of life will change. So take these three individuals as an example. First year we got little Ben. Ben's 12 years old, he's still living at home, and he's fully supported by his parents. Then we got Bob. Bob's a 22-year-old student. He's officially left home. He's flown the nest, but he's back under his parents' roof for just a couple of weeks. And then we've got Barry. Barry's a 32-year-old man who's now married, living away from home with three children of his own. Now, all three of those individuals are still children to their parents, but the dynamic of that relationship does change as you move through the different stages of life. In fact, for Barry, who's now married himself, the Bible is clear that he has now left his father and mother and is united to his wife. He's no longer under his parents' authority and protection in the way that he once was. So things do change relationally as we move through life, yet the heart of the command remains the same, right? To honor your parents. And so we need to work out what that looks like as children grow up and get older. So firstly, we respect their position. Secondly, we obey their instruction. And thirdly, and this is where the rubber really hit the road for me, I think, in working this through, we meet their needs. To honor your parents means to meet their needs. You see, as families get older, the roles of parents and children are often reversed. In the early years of life, children are totally dependent on their parents to care for them, to support them, and to provide for them. Yet, in the latter years of life, it's often then the parents who are dependent upon the support and the care of their children. And biblically, that's exactly how it should be. That's what we read in God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 5. This is Paul writing to Timothy, who is an elder, he's a leader in the church in Ephesus, and Paul is helping Timothy get organized when it comes to caring for the most vulnerable in the church family. And this is what we read in verse 3 and 4. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. Timothy, prioritize those who are really in need. But verse 4, if a widow has children or grandchildren, these, that's the children and the grandchildren, should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The primary responsibility, says Paul, falls with the family. And that is right for two reasons. Firstly, in doing so, you're repaying your parents for the countless hours of energy and care and support and sacrifice that they have poured into you as a little child. And secondly, we read, because this is pleasing to God. And it's pleasing to God because it's a fulfillment of the fifth commandment. Caring for your folks when they get older is part of what it means to honour your father and your mother. And so I guess the question for us is, that we need to ask ourselves is, do we take that responsibility seriously? Will we, when we get older and maybe our parents get older, will we take that responsibility seriously? Because in Jesus' day, they weren't, which is why he tackles the issue head on in that second reading that we had in Mark chapter 7. Let me read it again. And Jesus continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God," and he's talking particularly here about the fifth commandment, "in order to obey your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down." Can you see what's happening here? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law are encouraging the people to give their money solely to the temple to support all these so-called religious activities that happen there at the expense of their needy parents. And Jesus says that shouldn't be the case. That shouldn't be the case. What you are actually doing is nullifying the word of God. You are trampling all over Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, by failing to help the people do what God has called them to do, which is to honor their father and their mother. And you know what? I'm sure in different ways, the same thing to different degrees is happening today. I've seen it with my own eyes elsewhere. A lovely Christian couple who were devoted to the work of the church. They gave so much time and energy, particularly in this phase when there was a big church building project. They were so generous in their financial giving, so involved and integrated and connected in the life of the church. Yet at the same time, they had elderly parents in care who they hardly ever visited. What they'd actually done was pass on their God-given responsibility to others, and they gave all their attention instead to a church building project. Jesus says that shouldn't be the way. Now, of course, we need to be super realistic here. The work of caring for elderly parents can be incredibly hard. It may be hidden. It may be very unglamorous. It may require lots of additional support and specialist care. But you know what? When children do this for their parents, it is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful in God's sight. And there are so many in our midst here who are doing that beautiful thing. So many different people I could pick out. Leslie Ann and Elizabeth, two that maybe come to mind first of all. The amount of hours that Leslie Ann pours in to helping Elizabeth be here on a Sunday morning, and the times that she's up in the night and she's caring and she's supporting, and at times I bet she's at the end of a tether and she thinks, what am I doing? You are doing a beautiful thing in God's sight. It is a beautiful thing in God's sight because it is a fulfillment of God's good commands, and it is for the flourishing of the church family, and it is for the flourishing of society. And there's many others that I could have just highlighted and said, it's wonderful. It's wonderful, and we do it in our weakness, and we don't always get it right, but we are called to honour our father and our mother. So in conclusion, the command is clear, isn't it? It's really simple, actually. Honour your father and your mother. That means at least three things. Firstly, respect their position, because that's God's good design for the family. Parents are kind and loving authority, and children who gladly submit to that kind and loving authority. Obey their instruction, which of course, as we said, looks different at different stages of life. And we need to think about that and pray about that. And lastly, meeting their needs by repaying them for all the time and the energy that they have poured into you. For this is pleasing to God. And we do all of that with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts. So I take a moment now just to digest before the band come and lead us in song. Maybe what is the one thing, there's a whole range of stuff that sits under that fifth commandment. What is maybe the one thing that God spoke all these words? What is the one thing maybe that God is speaking to you that with his help, we need to implement and pray about in our own lives? So take a moment to do that, and then the band will come and lead us.